Now, we've been here for a couple weeks. I promise I will try to finish up today on it, but it is an important topic. Why? Because a lot of our kind of Baptists are losing, well, I'll just say it like this, we're losing our minds on it. We're losing our good graces on it. We're getting a little bit too close, a little bit too chummy with not just the world, but the things of the world. And you see that all over. You see that in the things that we wear and the things that we entertain ourselves with, even the language that we speak. And it's important for us to remember that as ambassadors of Christ, that's exactly who we need to represent. And our actions matter. Our actions still have consequences. The world fights and they try. They want to create a world where you can just do things and it doesn't change or hurt anything. But that's not the way it works. If you do certain things, it will create a reaction. So we looked last week at a separation in religious matters. We also looked at three excuses Christians often use for not living separated lives, being other Christians don't have your standards, let's keep the main thing argument, where we're here to save lost souls. And of course, we understand that we're not going to be able to give the gospel to anybody appropriately if we've jacked our testimony up with worldly living. And then the third one being that I have liberty, and that's where we are today. This whole idea of I have liberty. Now, the idea, let me backtrack a little bit. When we talk about liberty, we use that in a wrong fashion nowadays, mostly because out of reformist theology, they rely heavily on the word liberty, where let's say Brother Charlie wouldn't wear a certain color, right? And I would sit there and say, well, that's not very biblical to wear that color. Of course, nowhere in the Bible does it say what colors we're allowed to wear, but he would have liberty in doing that. Well, the problem with the reformist theology is they've got a lot of theological opinions like that, where, well, you may believe in, well, there may be a lot of scriptural proof for the doctrines of grace, but I have liberty in that I can believe other things. And they abuse that word liberty, right? Where they, again, take liberties to create theology that doesn't exist. Or they take liberties in denying theology that is there, concrete, and does exist. So we have to be careful, right? True Christian liberty is not license to do whatever we want. Liberty is the freedom to do right, never the freedom to do whatever it is that we want. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Galatians 5, 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So this flies in the face of those people out there that say, well, whether it's right or wrong, I'm going to do it. I can always ask God to forgive me later. Well, that's heresy. As a matter of fact, not just heresy, but it's almost blasphemy. Because what is it that was used to obtain our forgiveness? The blood of Christ. Jesus had to die on the cross. So basically what we're saying is, hey, it's okay because the Lord was whipped and was bled to death on a cross, gave up the ghost. So it's okay that I do X, Y, or Z sin. Because I can always say, I'm sorry. That's not how that works. As a matter of fact, it's downright mean to live that way as far as how where God is concerned. We need to make sure that in our decision making, we consider that it just because we have liberty doesn't give us the right to go out and sin and go out and purport ourselves as the world, go out there and live it up, destroy our bodies and minds, and hope that maybe if I just say I'm sorry, it'll all go away. Right? Our liberty is not to be used as an excuse for those enslaving habits. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Let's say you and I are sitting down and we're having a the biblical discussion on smoking. And you sit there and then you make a prize-winning argument as to why you should smoke or why it's okay to smoke, why the Bible doesn't say that you shouldn't smoke. Well, right here we've got this. I will not be brought under the power of any. You ever met somebody trying to give up smoking, or maybe you yourself gave up smoking? It gets you. Right? We were kind of back there. Somebody was asking for some sugar-free candy from Dennis. I kind of chuckled at that. Right? Now, think about that. Now, brother, did I get that right? You were saying that you gave up sugar, that processed kind, right? Was that rough for you the first couple days? Really? Always makes me grumpy the first couple days. I will get out of my car and push your garbage cans into the street. I'm in a foul mood, man. Things that are lawful, we can find biblical argument for them, but they enslave us. We need to be honest about those things. We need to stay away from those things. Anything that does damage to us, anything that brings hurt to us, right? We need to make sure that we're not giving into those things. Well, where in the Bible does it say that I can't watch this? Where in the Bible does it say that I can't listen to that? And we'll use those arguments thinking that gives us liberty. You know what? You've never lost your liberty. You can always make whatever decision you want to make, but the consequence is still there. The consequence is still there. I'm still hurting the Lord. I'm still going against Him and His plan for my life. And that will always come out to the exact same kind of result that God promised would happen. We give ourselves into the power of things. I've met some folks that will willfully do the wrong thing just to get into get under the skin of somebody who told them not to do it. Right? Now you're making decisions based on somebody telling you not to. You're a slave to this thing, right? Well, I can give up any time I want. Okay, well, go ahead and you give it up and tell me how that goes. Well, I don't want to. Well, I thought you could give it up any time. See, we get stuck in these things. We get ensnared by these things. All right, we need to be cautious. We need to mark the things that draw us down and pull us away from God. I've even seen this where... Brother Charlie, can you see what's going on out in the front yard? Yeah, there's somebody out in the front yard. Looks like she's got a squeegee or something. There's me for being distracted. But no, there are things out there that will grab a hold of us, pull us down, and tear us away from God. And what we need to do is we need to make sure that we're staying on those things. We're staying away from the bad things and being honest about the things that are there. Our liberty is restricted to doing things that edify. That's the purpose of our liberty. Not to ensnare us, but to set us free from those things, in that we can do things that edify. Again, we always have a choice. We always have a choice, but we are better off making the proper one than one that would slow us down and be a pain to us. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians 10:23. It says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Again, a variation of what we just read, but there's a little difference there in the end. Not all things edify. Not all things will encourage me the way that I ought to be or the way that I need to be. Life is hard. Life is filled with distractions. Life is filled with frustrating things. The last couple of weeks, I mean, it just go, 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 go for me, right? Now, those things are lawful, but are they expedient? Well, yeah, there are some things you got to do that are expedient. There are some things that you got to do are good. But then we also have to analyze things. What things edify? What things build up? I was talking to a young man one time. He was having a hard time with his money. And the hard time was that he's got holes in his pockets. That was his problem. Everything he saw he needed to buy. Right? Well, I got to have something to drink. So he'd go off and he'd spend $5-6 at the gas station getting two or three little bottles of something to drink in the day, and then moan throughout the rest of the day he didn't have any money for lunch. Right? He'd go out to eat for lunch every day, but he wouldn't stop and maybe go to the grocery store and get some bread, a couple pieces of deli meat and take it home and make it for the next day. He wouldn't do that. Right? Yes, those things are good. It is good to eat. You got to eat. It's good to stay hydrated if you're hydrated with the right thing, right? If you don't have any money in your bank account, maybe you don't need a $2 fancy juice or whatever it is, right? You don't need that stuff. It is lawful, but it's not expedient, and it does not edify. It does not build you up. In fact, it tears you down. So again, when we're looking at things, can I do this with my liberty? Can I do this and still maintain separation? The question one of the questions we got to ask there is, does this edify? There may be things that we think are neutral. In the world of sin and flesh, there is no neutral. Something will always either push you or cause you to drift. Liberty is not an excuse for hiding sin. 1 Peter 2:16 refers to us not using it as a cloak of maliciousness, right? Where we can hide our sin with liberty, where we can kind of put on the face, and as long as I've shown up to church, as long as I wrote my check, as long as I supported this and swept that and came over here on and worked on this and I baked a bunch of these for that, they use that. Okay, I've got this. And they use that to hide the sin that they have. Or they use excuses for every little thing. Right? You talk to a church member. Well, why is it, Sister So-and-so, that you were out drinking last Saturday? Well, the Bible says that I am to honor my husband. My husband says that we could, so I have to obey my husband. So we went out and we went drinking. And it's perfectly fine because biblically I'm supposed to obey my husband. So see, I was being submissive and good. That's not how that works. That's not how it works. We cannot use our liberty. We cannot use what God has given us to hide our sin or to justify our sin. Well, hey, I saw that you went over there and you're having a hard day at work and you put your fist through the wall and you called all your coworkers all these horrible names. Yeah, but you don't understand. They made me angry. And because I'm a saved child of God, it's okay because of the 99 other times I behaved myself. That's not how that works. We cannot use it to hide our sin. There's a lot of people out there that come to church and are chased away by folks that hide their sin over these kind of cloaks. Our Christian liberty must never be a stumbling block to a weaker Christian. Right? We get a brand new Christian in here. We save him. We throw him in the baptismal tank. I say, all right, well, let's head on out to, I'm going to take you out to lunch. Right? And there's this neat little bar and grill down here that serves some amazing steaks. And I take him over there. And I know, as the pastor, I know that he's had issues drinking. And as a matter of fact, it is a major obstacle he's got to deal with right now. So the very first thing that I do is I take him out to the bar. Now, I've got liberty. That might not bother me, right? I've got liberty to do this because it don't bother me. Yeah, but what I've done is I've created a major stumbling block to this person because all the while they're talking to their pastor, they're seeing the booze walking past their table, they're seeing it up on the wall, they can see the shelves, right? It's a major temptation to them. And maybe they sat there and say, hey, listen, I was baptized today. The pastor, I had a meeting with the pastor. I feel real religious. It's okay for me to give in and just have one little drink. Right? We create stumbling blocks for each other when we give ourselves passes on our sin. So in order to avoid this whole thing, it is far better for us to build a spirit-filled, separated life. And how do we do that? Let's look at some things to build this. Well, when we're building it, we got to fill our days with something. And the things that you fill your days with, number one, must be scriptural, right? The Word of God has a direct say in Psalm 119, verse 15. Go to Psalm 119, verse 15. It says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. That right there is a roadmap on how to live a biblically separated life. Number one, meditate on the precepts. What is it that God says to do and not to do? I'm going to meditate on those. I'm going to look at those. I'm going to keep those in the forefront of my mind. So that way when something comes walking into my life, some temptation gets fired my way, I can look at that and say, you know what, that looks just a little bit like this kind of a problem. That looks just a little too off for me, or a little bit too close to this precept that I know I'm not supposed to do this thing, so I'm going to stay away from it. And next, we have to have respect for God's ways. We got to have respect for them, right? As a parent, I'm sure it's driven you crazy when you taught your kids how to do something as a child. It was a rule in your house. And then when you maybe go over to their house or you have them come over, you see them breaking that rule. That drive you nuts? I've thought about this. I go, when my kids get older, I've got a list for all the things I'm going to go right over to your house and do. Right? I'm going to go over there. I'm going to turn every light in the house on. Right? I'm going to go over there. I'm going to stop off at the dollar store. I'm going to stop off at the flea markets and the yard sales. I'm going to get a bunch of cheap toys. And I'm just going to just spread them out over your stairs. Just spread them out. I'll come home some days, it's just carpeted, right? That's what I'm going to do. It drives me nuts. Right? Now listen, we've got rules, don't we? When you were raising your kids, you had rules. When you get older, you want to see them respect those rules, not just because they fear you, but because they respect the validity in what it is you had to say. Don't do this. Take this straight out. Right? Don't put the garbage in the garage. Put it in the can. Right? We got all different kinds of rules all day. Right? We had rules in our house, and I tell you what, it wasn't good to be me if I broke those rules when Mom and Dad came home. Where's the respect we ought to have for God's? We ought to have respect for His rules and for the things that He has to say. To where, you know what, Lord, I may not understand it, but I'm going to do it. Right? We've all been in that position where I sit there and we're just talking to somebody who's an expert. We don't get why, and maybe we'll ask a few questions, maybe we'll dig into it. But ultimately, if we trust the expert, we trust the expert. Same book, same chapter, but 105 instead of 15. Psalm 119, verse 105. Again, we know this, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. All right, so step three in this business is we've got to allow the word of God to have defining power in the things that we see. According to the Bible, where does this fit? Right? If I were to take this temptation, this idea, this philosophy, and I compare it with Scripture, would I walk that way? Or would I allow the Bible to define it that way? We need to be very, very strict on what the Word of God has to say. We need to stay on the path of what it tells us to do. If it tells me to do it, that's where I'm going. If there's something that I question, something that I don't understand going on in the world around me, I take the Word of God to it so I can see it for what it is. So is it scriptural? Right? Can I do this? It's a good question. Can I do this in the name of the Lord? Now, that seems like a very, very young kid Sunday school lesson to give, but it is a fact. Right? Whatever it is that you go down to do, make sure that you're able to do it in the name of the Lord. Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Right? We need to be able to ask ourselves that question. You know, Dennis, you like to fish, right? You can do that to the honor and glory of the Lord. You can be out there. You can be an encouragement to the people that you bring with you. You can sing hymns and you can pray while you're doing that, I'm assuming. Me, I get frustrated. I don't want the Lord to see me fish. But you know, we can do those things, right? Can I work on my car in the name of the Lord? Yes, there are things that I can do to make that a God-honoring time. Can I go to work and honor God? Yes, there's a way for us to do that in a way that brings honor and glory to God. Can I run down to the bar? I can't imagine. Well, I like to give the gospel while I'm there. Yeah, but what else are you doing while you're there? I like to shoot pool. Yeah, man, I don't think so. They're going to take one look at you at the bar and they're going to laugh at you. Right? What you're doing is you're compromising. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus that I get to walk so far away from His statutes. Right? That's not how that works. Right? Can I sit there and be cussing somebody out on the side of the road in a way that brings honor and glory to God? No. Can I rob from my employer? Can I hurt the people in my family? Can I be abusive and do so in the honor and glory of the Lord? I don't think so. You can't tell a lie to bring honor and glory to God. There's people out there that do it. Their lies get found out, and God's the one who ends up taking the bad rap on it. Right? These televangelists, they're out there lying on God. And, of course, people look at God differently because of it. We need to be right. We need to be able to ask ourselves, can I do this in the name of the Lord? Next question, will others be hindered in their salvation or spiritual growth by what I do? And folks, we cannot beat the Holy Spirit. If someone's going to be saved, someone's going to be saved. I'll say that outright, but I tell you what, there are many a person that's got to bypass your testimony to get to one of their own. There are many people that perhaps by our actions and by the way that we have lacked discipline have been pushed away from God instead of brought forward. And there are many that while they're in the church have been either distracted or thwarted in their walk with God because of our own sin. Right? There was a time in high school where I played in the marching band. I played trombone. And one of the songs that they asked us to sing was sexually illicit. This is high school. Very, very, even in the title, like the person announcing it would have to say something that I'm uncomfortable saying from the pulpit in a high school public event. We'd play this song. So I sat there, I looked at the music, and I called up because he gave us the music in the middle of summer, called up the band director, and I said, "No, sir, I can't do this." He says, "Well, you have to either do this or you can't be in the band." I said, "I understand," and that was it. That was the end of my day at band. And I went off and I told some of the people in church that were in the band too. And I said, "Hey, listen, I can't do this. Not going to do this." And I tell you what, everybody goes, "All right, we understand. Yeah, that makes sense." And some people were encouraged. Some people said nothing at all. But there's always that one person. "All right, well, don't go in there in the church talking too loud about this because you'll ruin it for the rest of us. You'll make the rest of us look bad." By their decision, we all have a choice. We can make our own decisions. And you going out there and saying that you're not going to do this, you're just going to make us look bad. Don't say anything. By them making that decision and by them, me making my decision, it bothered them. They would much rather me get caught up. They'd much rather other Christians in the church get caught up in that nonsense than for us to stand up and make them look bad. Right? "Well, don't you go up there and preach on this, preacher. Don't you go up there and say anything like this." Or I'll tell you what, I've even heard of this. Mom and Dad will be riding home and they'll lean back to the kids in the car. "Now listen, what pastor said today, you just got to ignore that, all right? We just won't talk about how we do that." You know what? The last person I heard, their kid told me their mom said that. "Oh, mom told me we're not allowed to talk about that at church." The last kid that I heard say that to me just got excluded from church for non-attendance and for living a kind of a rock and roll lifestyle, a little liquor, a little alcohol, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're not supposed to tell the church that we do this. What we're doing is we're creating a scenario where we're tempting people to stumble and fall. And either it's our own children, it's young people in the church around us, it's maybe younger Christians, maybe we're just bickering over nonsensical things to cause others to stumble. We've got to be able to address the facts. The hardcore fact that we could cause each other to slip. Or we can be anti-gospel. We can be out there living an ungodly lifestyle and it push people away from the one true God. The other one is sometimes something will come by and we'll have doubts about it, right? I've looked one way through the other and I can't find an answer as to whether or not this particular thing is right or wrong. If it, when in doubt, don't. If you're not entirely sure, err on the side of caution. Right, my life is full. Isn't your life full? I've got tons of stuff that I can do. As a matter of fact, I've got tons of stuff I've got to do. I don't need one or two activities to slip me up. Right? Hey, listen, this you know, we like going to city festivals. You like going to city festivals? Oh, I love going to festivals. You like going to the parks and art fairs? Oh, I love an art fair. Well, Oktoberfest is going on over here. Is that right or wrong to do? Well, I don't know. The beer's just over in one tent. We could talk the thing to death, right? But what is that, right? We said that we picked that apart. You know, I don't know where I fall on that. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to fall out of it. I'm not going to participate. I'll go. I got 100,000 other things that I can go do. The problem is we get this fear of missing out. Oh, I can't not go. I can't not do this. I can't not have one of those. Everybody else has one of those. You know, why shouldn't I have that? You know, I do. I get a little suspicious about things where you've just got to have them. Well, why? I remember when I was a kid, there was always a toy, there was always a pair of shoes, there was always a shirt or something that everybody just had to have. And I figured that was just a school thing. And you grow up and you see adults are the exact same way. Why do I have to have this? Why do I have to have that when there are so many other things that I already have? So many things that I can already be comfortable with and enjoy and not have to compromise to get. Because remember, ultimately, it's not about whether you do or do not have something. It's not about what you're. It's not about having something to fill your days with. It's about whether or not you're going to please the Lord. That's what it comes down to. Am I pleasing the Lord in this? And I would much rather be cautious than out there being reckless and find myself in something that I shouldn't be in. All right, so if there's any doubts, it's a good sign for us to pump the brakes. And then we've got to ask ourselves the question, would what I want to do be acceptable to the Lord? Could you bring the Lord into it? Could you bring the Lord into it? Again, I had a friend one time. He invited a bunch of people over. He said, hey, listen, I got a brand new TV. We're going to watch a movie on it. And I go, that sounds like a good time. It's a good thing. It's about time that guy pitched in, had something for us to come over to his house. So, all right, well, what are we going to do? What are we watching? He told me the movie. It was some kind of one of those horror cut-em-up movies. I go, are you out of your mind? And it wasn't like he was a secular friend. He was a church friend inviting church people over. Right? Are you out of your mind? You know who you invited over for that business? No. No, I'm not going to come watch that. Why? Because I couldn't invite the Lord to go with me. Right? He goes, all right, bring a friend. I'll go, the one friend I'd want to bring, I can't bring with me to that business. I can't do it. Right? We need to have respect because, again, we believe the Holy Spirit dwells within us, right? We believe that the Lord is everywhere, right? Well, here's some cold water on a nice morning like this, but He's with us every time we sin. He's with us in everything we do. So you might as well be able to ask yourself and acknowledge the fact that you're bringing Him with you when you go. Right? But again, let's be rhetorical with it. Could I pick up the phone and say, Lord, would you mind coming over and watching this slasher movie with me? Hey, Lord, would you mind coming on over? We're going to have a few beers in the backyard. Lord, why don't you come on over for this? We wouldn't do it. So why would we go there? Why would we participate in it? Of course, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but as Brother Hugan always used to say, preaching to the choir is how you make them sing. So I get it. But probably a lot more amens than omis, but it's important for us to keep that in mind. The things, the doctrines that we let slip, the doctrine of separation, if we ever stop talking about it, will be something that doesn't get passed down to the next generations. It's good for us to demonstrate it, and it's good for us to be able to talk on it as often as possible. All right, let's dismiss in prayer. We're done with that.